Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcata Economics on Tuesday, October 28th at 5:30 p.m., where we have had, let's say a bit of a stabilization in the gold and silver prices after another sell-off on Monday. Maybe not quite as stable on the gold side, where we see the futures down $51, $52, both futures and spot now below $4,000 per ounce, which, I mean, again, if you take a look at the gold chart here and you think about how quickly the price has run up, especially that move from 3,300 back on August 18th. Here we are, October 28th, just 2 months later. So you had $1,000 in 2 months and a bit of it coming off, although, as we will dig into in just a moment, some wild forecasts out of the LBMA. So if you're a little concerned, just stay here with us. It's going to be okay. But anyway, gold down a bit today. On the other hand, silver recovering and also very interesting development. Here you can see futures up 36 cents, spot up 16 cents. And look at that. We're back into normalization. The spot price 47.05, futures 47.14, and no longer is the spot price above the futures price. So we've seen quite a normalization in the silver market. Price is up a little bit, but those conditions where basically you had the London spot price bid up to attract metal back there, that has changed. And it's interesting because if we look here, at least as of yesterday, now the spread had already come in, was still in backwardation yesterday, but on Monday, one of the bigger withdrawals at almost 4.5 million ounces. Now, if you mark it from October 9th, aka the day that something broke in the silver market, not something, we talked about what broke, they had a shortage, especially in response to a surge in Indian silver imports, which we also have the data for, and I'll show you in a moment. But between October 9th and yesterday's column, we were up to about 26.5 million ounces that had left the COMEX, add on another 4.5. So that's about 30 million ounces. And I'd asked the question yesterday, well, you know, if the daily, the LBMA turnover is about 250 million ounces. The free float's currently at 153 million ounces. Is 25, 30 million ounces going to be a band-aid, or is that actually going to resolve the situation? And I also mentioned that here you see highlighted the large shipments from US and China to London. And I said that I would try and get a better idea of just how much has left China. And fortunately enough, was able to track that down. And if we go, that's actually in today's Substack. And if we look a little bit down here, this was on Reuters. A China-focused precious metals trader said that about 100 to 150 tons were on their way out of China. Now, you might be saying, all right, how many million ounces is that? That comes to 3.2 to 4.8 million ounces. And also, they say on the way out of China, although not all of it is necessarily going to London. There you go. Not all the Chinese metal was heading to London, as Britain had to compete with India, the world's biggest consumer, which is also experiencing a shortage of available silver due to its festive season. I'll say again, man, you had a mania breakout. They were already buying at a high price, which is not their norm. Then you, from that degree that you tell someone who wants something, now you can't have it. I wonder if there will be some pent-up demand, how that will play out. Can't find out yet, since the silver, no reports that it has made its way to ease that shortage. And I've been keeping an eye on that. And again, JP Morgan, apparently, according to Bloomberg, was telling customers they wouldn't have any silver going to India until at least at the earliest November. So, you know, in either case, though, it's not like another big chunk. So we're still talking about 30 to 35 million ounces. And if we go back to these numbers here, that green portion, that's what's called the free float. That's at 153 million ounces. Daily turnover is 250 million ounces. So you can consider below 250 the danger zone. We're 100 million ounces over that. And so far, let's call it 35 million ounces have gone since October 9th. You take the COMEX peak, which was, I believe, October 2nd, that adds about another 4 or 5 million ounces. So, and now the spread has normalized. So, is metal going to continue to go? We'll find out. That the next big known data point is when does India get restocked? How does that go? Although it's, especially as we're in the midst on track for another deficit this year, we'll see how that shakes out. But through all of that, you had the LBMA meeting, and they are saying that, oh wait, one other quick note before we get to the LBMA. By the way, here's Robert Gottlieb, the former JP Morgan Precious Metals trader. He seemed to agree because he said, I believe we need another 100 to 150 million, 150 million ounces physically in London. And we're at about 35, generously, and the spread has narrowed, which could be one of the reasons that here we have the LBMA at a conference in Kyoto, Japan. And they put out their forecast where it says gold near 5,000 an ounce by the end of next year on October 5th, 2026, when they have next year's meeting. Actual price came in at $4,980, about 27% above current levels. So at least banks expecting that to continue. As I mentioned in the Substack that came out today, you also have this gold trader hiring spree drives up as bullion booms. That's a common feature that I remember that well from my time on Wall Street, where when a market's hot, they're paying out the yin yang. They're worse than the baseball and football owners when they're outbidding for a free agent. And when the market cools down, they often tend to overfire as well. And you can actually see that here. This is a quote from Bloomberg. Years of being a relatively neglected corner of many banks' trading desks has hollowed out the pipeline of talent for traders and salespeople. And this is the first time precious metals traders are actually getting paid like the other commodity traders. So even on Wall Street, they're not giving the precious metals guys too much love. But just in case, now I wouldn't recommend this, but if you're thinking, wow, I'm gonna go be a gold trader. Here they mention Singapore Bank's DBS Group Holdings, Overseas China Banking Corp among those seeking a hire. SocGen over if you want to go live in France, they're building up. And anyway, I wouldn't recommend it, but in case you want to join into the fun on the Wall Street side, they're ramping up and the LBMA, which is basically, those same banks and others forecasting that they think the gold price is going to continue to rise. As I mentioned in this one, this one on Friday that we did, what Trump administration may well not already be just planning, but doing in the gold market. I would say they're, as I've thought about it more, I think you're perhaps covered another day, but there are specific reasons why the gold price necessarily has to rise given the other things that are happening. And as we saw from Scott Bessent, I haven't seen him say this yet, but I saw it reported a couple different places. Apparently, Scott said the gold price rising has helped us substantially, given that they've already been talking about remarketing the Fed gold certificates, conceivably to the market price. I think it gets more likely the more time goes on that eventually you get that market price jacked higher or just overtly reset higher. But yeah, because the higher the price goes now, when they remarket, the more direct cash that goes into the treasury. So Scott Bessent seems to enjoy that. And, that could be factoring into things like that, why the bullion banks predicting 5,000 an ounce. Here, adding to the bullish tone, South Korea's central bank signaled it may boost gold reserves for the first time in more than a decade. And remember that we just had the US place another round of sanctions on some Russian oil companies. So the whole central bank gold buying spree that set records for the last 3 years, over 1,000 tons each year, began right after the sanctions were placed on Russia the first time. And here we have a week or two, whatever it is later, South Korea is now joining the party. And when you look at the money that's being spent in the US, the fact that if it wasn't clear before Elon Musk came into the Doge team that they can't cut spending, there's also the degree to which if they did cut spending, you'd have with government spending about 23 or 24% of GDP. There are reasons you can't do it, and there are reasons they need a lower dollar. There are reasons that everyone in the Trump administration, including Scott Bessent, have talked about a lower dollar. There's a reason the dollar is lower against the other junk currencies since the Trump administration came in. And there's a reason that the dollar is lower against gold. And there's a reason that banks expect it to continue to get lower against gold and also lower against silver because the broad bullish sentiment also extended to other precious metals like silver, which they forecast to hit $59.10 an ounce within a year, about 27% above current levels. Now, let's see. If we were at $59.10 in October of 2026, based on the conversations I've had over the past couple of weeks, I'm guessing those silver people probably wouldn't even be happy with that yet, even though it'd be all-time record territory. Although I guess here's the thing that it's interesting because let's say, they come out Sunday night, hey, we needed to pay down a chunk of debt, so gold's now $20,000 or $30,000. I mean, even if they do that, unless you ever change the entire form of government and somehow rein in the spending, I mean, if they keep adding debt, which under the current system, it's hard to imagine any other thing possible, and especially if they did a reset where it's like, all right, accepting the inflation, going to continue to add debt. It's almost when you think over a long enough time period, let's say in the next 10 years, they revalued it to a bigger number higher. Without that substantive change in the overall system, what is it, what else could happen 40, 50, or 100 years from that point? So Luke Roman, his latest Q&A was really fantastic in helping to point some of those things out. And also the Silver Sunrise, which some of you may have seen. I'm almost finished with it. Absolutely fantastic. Everyone's dear friend David Morgan was part of this one. And I'd listened to Luke, and then I was watching this, and they were mentioning how any of these currencies goes to zero over and over, and it was just some combination of those two where it's like it just helps it go, gold in particular from a longer term standpoint, where it's like, gee, when you think this through, it's hard to see 5 years from now, 10 years from now that the difference between 4,300 and 3,950 matters at all. Again, that's my opinion, not legal financial advice, but some things to think through. And anyway, the link for the Silver Sunrise, this one's free. Luke's is a paid column, which I am darn glad I pay for. Makes my brain feel shinier. So highly recommended, but this one is free. Fantastic. Link in the description field below. At least I think I put it in there before we started. If not, it'll be in there in just a moment, and fantastically done. So with that said, gonna wrap up, but LBMA, the banks, they're expecting the rally to continue based on some of the things happening. I would say that the dysfunction in the silver market has eased for now, but same thing we've been saying for the last couple of years. Like, there's a bigger issue coming, and 25, 35 million ounces is not going to resolve that, in my opinion. Does that mean we can't see more sell-off in weeks or months ahead? Of course, that's possible, but hopefully not. And more importantly, I just hope you're having a wonderful day out there. Been a lot of fun to do some of these live lately. And anyway, we'll wrap up for now, but go enjoy a wonderful evening. And I will see you again tomorrow. Oh, yeah. And speaking of which, Tomorrow, I will say 4:30 p.m. Eastern. We have something special coming up, especially if you're not a fan of some of the taxation policies, or if you've heard people talk about, well, is the 16th Amendment, was that actually passed? Are there people who, why does it say voluntary in the tax code? That's something you are not going to want to miss. So hit that subscribe button and the notification bell so that way you can get a reminder for that show. I would say this is one of the top 10 in time we've been doing the channel. So think you'll enjoy it. Have a great night, and I'll see you then.